Welcome to another episode of Tech Bites, brought to you by The Gateway.
Amin, it's just you and me this week again, but that is okay. I know Biagio is regretful that he can't be here with us today, but those travels from Italy are always going to be an arduous thing, especially when you're coming back to America from Italy. I think that flight takes just a little bit longer to your soul, almost.
Yeah, I think you lose time or gain. No, you gain time because we're behind when you come this way. But also the jet lag is terrible.
And the pizza is not nearly as good. I know. So it's just
probably leaving home. He's very upset. You know, exactly. He might even have taken a boat. Who knows?
Right. This is true. Just to make the trip longer so we can stay in international waters for as long as possible.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't hit any icebergs or anything.
Exactly right. I think we can persevere without him today. And as we're kind of shifting into what we're talking about, I have been seeing a lot of awesome write-ups about all of the future that comes with technology. And it feels like to me that more and more of these ideas, these concepts, these valuations of new companies, new apps, new products, I'm not as confident in them as I used to be. I used to be very, very motivated by what was coming. And it feels like the stuff that's being created or being invented is less impactful. I have less confidence in it. I don't even think it's going to be a thing, you know, like even when that's where I'm at. And I'm wondering if that's something that you're kind of experiencing, or we've just hit that part where our creations, we've done what we can, and now we need a true industrial age breakthrough to make new things like the internet, something along those lines, or that. I haven't really put my thoughts together on it, but I was wondering what you were kind of thinking within that.
I feel the same way. So if you look at early decades, so just looking at the incredible crazy story of a company like Google, that dominated the world recently. They were a judge found them guilty of monopolizing search market, and just going back to see how they started, it's not that hard to see people, especially investors, getting excited about an industry like this, because this is an industry that has the potential to create dozens of companies that have similar stories to Google and now kind of rule the world. And we laugh about it, but they do in a way. So I'm not surprised that in early days, people were trying to find ways to found companies that would have a huge impact and thus will be very valuable. But of course, it's gotten harder because the first field has gotten crowded, and when most potential that was obvious to people has been taken advantage of. So, but that, I think, create a culture and the venture with venture capitalists and that venture capitalism and that type of investor mentality where they have a very low bar for giving a lot of money, then that create an environment in tech that people just wanted capital and wanted to sell the company the minute it was valuable. And that, you know, it's not strange that gave way to a lot of companies with useless products that disappeared after they were sold. And that's just, but if you're a venture capitalist, what you do is you take risks on each of these ventures. Individually, it's a big risk. But the thing that allows them to have a path to success, the venture capitalists, is that they just give money to everyone and one of them succeeds. And the reward is so high that makes up for all the failures.
For all the losses. Like they're just playing playing the house and the gambler at that point.
Yeah.
You're just saying,
I
hey, I'm
mean,
going to put it
it's
everywhere.
convenient because they have the money to fund them all. And if you fund them all, you will find success at some in one of them. And when, especially that when one of them succeeds, they just grow like 5,000%. It's not like they grow 20%. You know what I mean?
Right,
And
right.
that just that has worked. But that's not to say we haven't had venture capitalists that have failed, of course. But that like think to think thinking about what it does to culture within companies and what it does to culture within industry, it's not strange to see slogans like move fast and break things, because you will find something that will be so valuable that will pay for all the damage you've caused so far. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But notably, Facebook changed that slogan. And then they don't want to break things anymore because their margins are getting tighter. And they've
Right.
gotten really aggressive on advertising. First time in a long time I've considered deleting Facebook because it's just so aggressive.
Yeah,
The
right.
content, they're pushing the recommended content and trying to keep me on there. I it's not
It
like
doesn't
when I
even,
it
it almost
doesn't
feels like you're on
control.
Google, you know, like you're
Yeah.
just getting random stuff
It's
now, and
random
it's.
stuff. I haven't seen, so my wife posted something and I didn't know until she told me in person that she's posted something. It just doesn't show me.
All
So
right,
that's why I wondered, things
here's
like
one
that.
thing that I absolutely I struggle with, specifically with Facebook, because so many people treat it, or used to. I think it's definitely sh going away, but there was a time within at least American society that if you posted it on Facebook, like everyone in your surrounding hemisphere of friends was expected to know what you posted. Like that was like, I told
Yeah.
you, like,
Yes.
and you're like,
Yes.
well, what
It
if I
was on
missed it?
Facebook.
Yeah, exactly right. Like I told you, you should have known that, like, you know, my pet passed away, and you're like, I didn't, I'm sorry. Like, you know, you'd have those interactions similar to you and your wife where you're like, oh, you didn't know what happened? No, I didn't even see it. And that's probably one of, from a neural network almost, like one of the closest little connections to make is like, hey, maybe
Yeah.
your wife wants to like you to see this, maybe we should push this to you. And they're like, no, we'd rather give you, you know, some AI generated picture of a deity that you'll interact with maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, to me, it's obsessed with showing anti-EV memes because I like EVs, because that will provoke me. It's very scary. So that's what I mean. They have gotten this. I think this is a conservative move by Facebook. These are cards they had and they were choosing not to play because they didn't need to. Now they need attention so desperately that they are trying to appeal to my rage. And it's probably
Wow.
working with other people.
Well, and then
Definitely
that
working with
does
them.
get tiring, though, too, when you're
Yes,
like,
that's
I'm
why I have a
always
conservative
going to be
perspective.
upset. Right, exactly. When I'm always going to be at best agitated and at worst, like actively angered by something, like then I think we just naturally at some point get o overloaded with that and say, I'm not
Yeah.
going to go that way. And I feel like even Google, I feel like all of these large areas here are saying, here's the stuff that we're going to give you. And we've now almost all eaten too much of the sugar and we're kind of getting sick of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of these companies have answers other than, hey, we're doing different things now. You know, like I'm not saying it's good or bad. It's just, I don't think they have an answer of how to grow with the change of our society.
I agree. I think that plus this is clear sign that, as you mentioned early in your first comment, is a sign that the industry is maturing because there's less ground to explore, there's less potential for creative products, and there are products, they end up making products that don't mean much to people, don't catch on. That's why I think that's why the hype about deep learning and AI is so huge. Not that it's not a big breakthrough. I think large language models are a breakthrough, and they are an important breakthrough. But the impact is not like, if you think of impact of smartphone, it changed our lives in the physical world completely. Like no one can afford to not have one. No one can afford to leave the house without it. You know, it's like a major issue when someone doesn't
Oh
take
yeah.
home.
Like I will actively turn around and be late to a physical meeting with people if I left my phone at home. Like I've done that where you're like, okay, I got 20 more minutes to work. I'm 15 minutes away from home. I have a meeting in 35 minutes. You know what? I'll be late because it's better for me to be late to that one meeting than to go the day without my phone.
And there's probably a good argument to make for doing that, because even at work, everyone at work in the society, in your family, in your friend group, they expect you to have it with you. It would be a bigger problem than being 20 minutes late.
Exactly. Just even like with Teams, just Facebook messages, you know, all of these different ones that I use for so many different facets. I love when different organizations will like cut down on some of these social media platforms because, you know, for efficiency. And then you're like, actually, you know what? I do a lot of work on Facebook. Like I actually need that. And if you want me to do my job, and they're like, oh, sorry, we didn't realize how ingrained they are. So yeah, there's times where having that physical device, that's how I still function, and I'm actually way more efficient by losing 15 minutes of a meeting. I will be better the rest of the day w with my phone than not having that. And I'm like, I don't have my phone. I can't do, I can't, I'm sorry. I can't help with that. You know, I never really thought of that.
The point I'm trying to make from that is that this is like a very explicit and tangible impact in our lives. And it is a huge deal. And people, individuals, spend thousands a year to own one. But large language models, it's compared to that, is very mild. The impact is much, much more mild. It is helping a lot with some type of professions, productivity. For example, I have a friend who is a this is my example of helping with productivity. I have a friend who works for California DOT. He's a civil engineer. He's a senior engineer. And basically what happens is, because he is very senior, he doesn't design anything, or he doesn't go to a site or anything. What he does, he just comments on projects. Basically, he gives feedback and writes reports. And just he says, I spent one fifth of the time of the time I used to spend writing all these things. Now I just have that time for myself, because he doesn't send them
Interesting.
before the deadline anyway.
Exactly.
So
So he's like,
it's
hey, I can get
exactly
this
what Karl
produced.
Marx wanted. He said, if you have technology, it should benefit the worker. And he's
Correct.
using the technology. I'm not saying he's a communist. He would kill me if I say that.
There's a ripple going through our whole society right now that you reference Karl Marx in a
But
podcast about technology. But it's true. It's true.
it's true. It helped the worker. The employee, he's like shutting the employer off of all the benefits of using the large language model to write the reports, because he has 4 days to write the report. He writes it in one day and he sends it in the fourth day. So that's the impact, but that is still a very much, much more, and he's not paying for it. It's much, much more mild impact than carrying around a $1,000 device and paying like fees every month to keep it connected forever and at all times, 100% of the time. So I think, to your point from the beginning, the impact is getting less and less. And because the innovation and breakthroughs have gotten more scarce compared to the beginning, people hype there, but the hype has nowhere to go. So it goes to one narrow thing, such as
Right.
deep learning and large language models and AI.
Well, then I beg to ask the question of, are we falling into the hype of large language models and algorithmic learning, these different areas that we're going into that seem to be the only area where technology from a product facing perspective is really advancing? Are we then saying, okay, this is going to answer everything, this is going to fix us all? And it's really, I guess I want to ask, what if AI is as good as it gets right now? Like, what if we're at where we can make it? Like, what if it doesn't get any better and all of it is hype?
If it doesn't get any better, then yes, the hype is completely misplaced. I think the hype would, there's a potential for the hype to be deserved if it
Okay.
translates into an actual impact in our lives. One example is self-driving. If AI can drive a car and can drive a truck and then can drive freight trains, and these are huge impacts in our day-to-day lives,
Yeah.
then transportation would become incredibly cheap. If that happens, that
That
so
would be revolutionary.
yeah, that
Yeah.
would be revolutionary. And if the lawyer and doctor think situations are completely professions are completely automated, then healthcare can be incredibly cheap. It would really hurt one of our most lucrative industries, which is like being a doctor. But it in general, it will make healthcare more accessible and more better for society. But I don't know if we will ever get to that, especially with medicine with a black box model. And we have talked about this.
Yes,
And
yes.
in my evaluation of the current AI technologies, abilities, I think it is by design shut out of several areas, one of them being healthcare. It is because we can only evaluate its frequency of making errors, but not the quality of the errors it makes because we can't read it. We can say that this is the error rate, this is the amount of error, but we can never know what type of error a model is likely to make. Even if we do a study of the type of error, it's still biased towards what we ran through it. We can never
Right.
have knowledge of the knowledge of the rules that are embedded inside that model that will cause certain type of errors. And I think that's necessary for things such as medicine. Maybe not law, but medicine, because we don't care much about incarcerating innocents anyway. So that might get adopted over there, but if a grandma gets a wrong treatment that was an obvious error by an AI, that is a much, much bigger deal than someone going to jail for 20 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
An innocent person going to jail for, I think that's my evaluation. So the impact can potentially be very large if AI can solve some of those big problems that are in we deal with our intangible ways in our day-to-day lives. But right now the impact is less tangible. The hype is a little more than what it can do right now. Well, that's what we always come to.
Yeah,
But I think
that's what
what the
hype
message
is,
I'm
yeah.
trying to talk about this episode is that the industry has matured to a point where the hype has nowhere to go. It jumps on something narrow.
And then it almost makes it more reasonable for it to not be as good because it's so narrow, there's no room for failure. It's just this one element, this one app, and then we're like, see, it doesn't work. So now this whole
Yeah.
thing's done. I see. Well, I guess we can kind of t say that it's a good thing that we've moved away from the mentality of breaking things, like move fast and break things. But then you do have to give Meta, Facebook, the credit of saying that they did changed the way society interacted,
Oh,
pretty
yeah.
much in the same breath of language, like actual physical language did. Their Facebook's use of social media interaction was a huge shift, revolutionarily speaking, from our ways of interacting as humans. So that did create something actively different, like a lot of these technologies we're talking about. But now it's just, where does it go? And what other industries are then maybe adopting that move fast and break things mentality that maybe shouldn't, where it was easier
Yeah.
to do when it's a social media platform. There's less of a area to make mistakes, or less of a dramatic negative when you are doing those things. Are there some industries that maybe shouldn't be adopting that mentality, that might be at least embodying it in some form or fashion?
What I'm thinking of is so the other technology that we are trying to frantically develop fast is the renewable energy technology. And I read a lot about that sector too. I'm not an expert. I'm just I have interest in the industry. I see parallels. I see parallels, especially in the behavior of the investors. For example, I see these like promising companies with promising new battery technologies. There's like hundreds of them. And they come over and say, we have an idea that will charge a battery in 5 minutes and will, if you put on a car, it will take it 600 miles, right? That's a dream. If that happens, then we are all good. Then planet is fine. If you can do
Correct.
that, no one will ever buy a gas car. We don't even need to ban them because they will be better.
Right. The
So,
market will do what it
yeah,
does.
consumers will choose it because better. It's far better if you can do that. So there's hundreds of these companies, and then they all come over and say, "Look, Ford, GM, VW, Nissan, these are investors." All of them say that. It's because all of these big automakers with a lot of capital on their hand have invested in all of them, and that's the same behavior that venture capitalists had, and kind of have now in the tech industry. Whoever comes along, they give them some money. One of them will succeed. And now they instead of they sit down and think about, should we go through the technologies these little startups are proposing one by one? Like if you are at Ford and deciding to invest in a battery company, you sit there and say, should I spend money and time on evaluating the technology ideas all these companies, these 100 to 150 companies have? Or what if I invest in all of them and I have the money. And if one of them pays off, if one of them, instead of telling me to charge in 5 minutes, charges in 15 minutes and goes 400 miles, that's enough for me. You
That
know, if one of
changes,
them does
yeah.
half the things that they are promising to do, that's enough. And then I'm putting it in 150. And you know what? I can even afford to lose these $5 billion. So
Right.
why wouldn't they invest in all of them? And that's what they do. So it's the parallel there, but also moving fast and breaking things is kind of not literally possible in this kind of industry because things might explode in, in the tech world, if things don't work, they just crash. Like computers turn off. But in battery, they might cause fires and be serious. So they are trying new things. I'm very excited about the things that are coming along. Like there are batteries that do those things. They're just not stable. For example, they are useless after like 10 charge cycles. Things like that. So it is very promising. And I hope it works in battery industry. And it's fascinating to see how much less messy they are. Just because it's way more controlled and restrained, just because the culture, it's just because it's physical product they're making. That's
Right.
my understanding, my theory, why they are way more careful about things that they do, not say. Saying is everyone hypes it up just like the same culture as startup
As all
culture
technology.
and
Yeah,
tech.
startup
Yeah.
culture. Yeah.
But like in things that they do, they are you know, the there's like safety culture that doesn't exist or didn't have to exist in information technology type of setting, which is very interesting and fascinating to see. Especially, I will add this one more thing. Especially after the Elizabeth Holmes conviction, everyone is also very careful about what they say because they don't want to lie to the investors because U.S. government has made it clear that that's a serious crime. And the people who are investing on this side are not venture capitalists anymore. These are like auto companies that we know how much connected they are to the government. Like from 2008, we know these all went bankrupt and government came and saved them. So government is always on these auto companies' side all the time. So they are, and them being investors, it's also interesting to see when it comes to actual. So they say we have this idea that we'll do this crazy thing. But when it comes to what they are doing right now, they are just talk, say, we did this and this is the number that came out. We did that. And that's like, very fascinating. They are not saying more than that. When will you achieve what you promised? Theoretically, we should achieve it. That's it. No.
That's what they're saying, that they're just saying, yep,
Yeah.
it's there. We from a conceptual point of view, we have that, we can do that, but it's not, here's where we're at. Well, because bringing up Elizabeth Holmes, bringing up things like WeWork, all of these startups that literally took over at least the venture capital market and got a lot of support from very powerful and wealthy people, to then turn into something that really wasn't any of it, or it was atrociously managed, or it kept on spreading and growing until you can't own every building in every city we work. Like there's issues within these things that kind of start showing up, and I think we finally maybe realize that it's okay to have a vision of, hey, this one battery will charge your car in 3 seconds. That's amazing. But being able to say we're doing that right now is the line, and it's clearly drawn. And I think that's a good thing for consumers as well as investors and just society as a whole. Then you don't feel like there's as much snake oil going on out there. You have a real good idea of what it is.
Yes, I like that culture. I like that they say, here's my theory. But here's what I do, like separation of those things in the renewable industry, renewable technology industry. I think part of that having that culture comes from the actual practical need for these technologies that we have today. And I think it has to be some of these people went there because they saw a huge potential in, obtaining wealth. But also, I think there's an element of like a calling. They go there, it's like, we actually want to solve the battery problem. We actually want to build a battery that can lift a plane. We don't have that battery. It can lift a plane, but like it can barely lift itself. So one person need a plane. So I think that's why it's like more grounded in terms, if that makes sense, in terms of like what practically is possible and what there's less hype and more realistic views, which I really like. That's why I'm fascinated by watching it. I also I'm invested in it because of, climate change reasons. I want it to succeed. So I see that mentality helping the culture in the battery technology startup
Being
scene.
there, that it's still grounded within a real world impact that can make a difference. And I think, like you t said, that the industries and maybe even the influencers, whether it be political or wealth influencers, are maturing a little bit to know we need to do these things in a better way so that we're all understanding where we're at. And Especially when it does come down to things like climate change. If you're saying, hey, we have a battery that can save the world, people will make decisions based on that.
Yeah,
And
yeah. So it's
those can
serious. You
be, yeah,
can't
exactly. Exactly.
get away from saying that, oh, this like this app will walk your dog for you, for example. So your audience is governments and like really powerful entities too. When you, yeah, you're I completely agree with that.
Right. Well, I mean, as always, these episodes, I find myself going through a roller coaster of emotions, including hope and despair and just a lot of indifference to a lot of things. So I think it's still worth having these conversations and continuing to explore what's out there. And what I will leave with is I think one day we're going to have an announcement that a battery can do these things, and it will be relatively surprising because some of these organizations aren't doing what has previously been, where it's like, we're the greatest, we're the best, we're here, and nothing's actually there. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a reverse, where now all of a sudden, here's a battery, it does this, and we can go to market with it, and it will start to change very quickly. You know, in the difference of 6 months, we can see a large impact, and I look forward to that day.
I firmly believe that's happening in the next 10 years based on what I'm reading. There's like, I know there are hundreds of companies. There's like 10 of them that are saying that it's, we have done this in lab. You know what I mean?
Right.
And we didn't have that before. We
Right.
didn't
So
even
it's
have
getting
lab
there.
tested technology. Yeah. So I think it's just a matter of time. And I am very hopeful about that. And what, you know, commitment of governments, I know now we have shifted, I think, for just one thing about climate change. Commitment of governments to fight climate change is kind of shaky. Even
Right.
though it's a definitive scientific finding, because politics is messy, so the commitment is shaky. But what's happened in the last several years, I think, is that we have passed the tipping point. Even if, for example, the most powerful government in the world, US government, loses commitment after this year's election to fighting climate change, which, you know, one of the candidates has promised to lose commitment to that. I think it's still market has we have passed a tipping point where market will push for these renewable products, such as wind turbines, because I think a couple of years ago, we passed the point where it was cheaper to build wind turbines than a coal, maintain a coal plant, keep running the coal plant. And that's like huge. That was huge news in industry publications, and that is a massively impactful fact, development that has happened. So I am hopeful, as you said, in the coming years, we'll see something, a problem solved completely, and be like, okay, there you go.
Exactly. Well, I mean, let's see, you know, maybe in 5 years we'll have some different battery technology and we won't have to worry about anything and we'll all just sit and relax and have AI do all of our work for us, and that sounds like a great future. So
Yeah,
let's
but I
put that
have
out
one
there.
suggestion. Can I say that?
Yes, sir,
We
please.
need to keep battery power banks that like we charge our phones with away from dogs. Did you see that video?
Yeah, that was crazy. That like
Ours,
that get
mine
me
looks.
looking around my house. I was like, I don't know
Yeah.
if Oh
I have one that literally looks like a chew toy, honestly.
yeah, you know, move
Terrible.
fast and bite things apparently. So
Thank
all right, I mean, thanks so much. You have a good rest of your week.
you too.
And thank you for listening to another episode of The Gateway, brought to you by Northern Illinois University, where your future is our focus. And please remember to love always the promise of tomorrow today.